grisly as they were, the Ripper murders attracted far more attention when they occurred than they warranted, explains our guest Paul Begg. He tells us why that was the case, as well as why the very name Jack the Ripper has passed into the English language as a nickname for anything supremely evil. Begg is the author of Jack the Ripper, The Uncensored Facts, co-author of Jack the Ripper A to Z, and editor of Ripperologist magazine.
The world's most famous, or should that be infamous, serial killer is known as Jack the Ripper. Or is he? Jack the Ripper is certainly a name known to many millions of people, but do those people know that Jack the Ripper was a serial killer? The fact is that many don't. They know that Jack the Ripper was a villain. A lot of people know that Jack the Ripper was a member of the royal family. Well, he wasn't, by the way, but that's another story. But most people don't really know who Jack was, when he lived, or what he did. Jack the Ripper is just a bogeyman. So, how did a serial killer come to be known to people all around the world? To answer that question, we have to look at the economy of the Victorian period. During the 1870s, it became clear that the economy suffered a downswing every 9 years, producing unemployment, a term first used, or at least becoming popular currency, in the murder year of 1888. Regular employment in the 1880s was not easily had. This unemployment, a terrible and debilitating thing of barely conceivable horror, led to demonstrations by the unemployed in the wealthy West End of London. The police lost complete control of the demonstration in Trafalgar Square in 1886, and it turned into what Queen Victoria described as a monstrous riot, and which Gladstone, the Prime Minister, said had stained the reputation of this country in the eyes of the civilized world. The Commissioner of the Metropolitan Police resigned. In 1887, there was another demonstration in Trafalgar Square, which the new commissioner crushed. It was brutal and shocking. Hundreds of workers were wounded, and three were killed. During 1887 and the early months of 1888, national attention was focused on the poor and the unemployed. And since many of these people resided in the East End of London, it was towards the East End that many people looked. And it was onto this stage, the stage that was the East End, that Jack the Ripper walked. As horrific as his crimes were, and they were horrific as the black and white and mercifully poor quality surviving photographs show, it was not what the Ripper really did that caught the attention, but where and when he did it, and the crimes received far wider and far greater publicity than they would have done if committed elsewhere. And soon Jack the Ripper represented not a human being, but a shapeless horror. And this undefined image of the lurker in the shadows is what the name Jack the Ripper has meant to several generations of people. Parallel with this use of Jack the Ripper, there developed an attempt to clothe the shapeless form with some sort of identity. The Ripper was portrayed in books and stories as a seaman aboard a cattle boat, a religious fanatic, a Jewish ritual slaughterman, a female abortionist, or a crazed Tsarist agent. These were attempts to give Jack the Ripper an occupation and a motive. But in 1959, a television presenter named Daniel Farson discovered some official papers that named three men who, apparently, were strongly suspected by the police in 1888 of being Jack the Ripper. The modern age of what is called Ripperology had begun. For now, it looked as if the identity of Jack the Ripper might have been known. Real, meaningful clues might exist. And that's what Jack the Ripper is now, a mystery story, real-life clues to the solution, perhaps hidden in a newspaper account or official document, just waiting to be seen by the perceptive eye. And as long as people try to solve that mystery, it means that there are people studying history, reading books, doing original research, and saving lots of historically valuable photographs and documents from destruction. And that's no bad thing.
You've been listening to Paul Begg, editor of Ripperologist magazine.